Take your Bible tonight, please, and let's open to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. Proverbs, chapter 16. This is the fourth in a series of messages on freedom from the seven deadly sins. And tonight we want to deal with the deadly sin of pride, how to be free from the sin of pride. We'll begin tonight in Proverbs, chapter 16. And we'll be in several places in the Word of God tonight, both Old and New Testament, so you'll want to keep your Bibles there before you. And be alert, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. If you want to know what God thinks about pride, there it is. Now look in chapter 16, verse 18. Proverbs 16, verse 18. As we've just seen demonstrated before us in this dramatic skit, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And then over in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23. Chapter 29, verse 23. There the Lord reminds us that a man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor. You can make a case that pride is the very essence of sin. That pride is the primary reason that unbelievers stay away from the Lord Jesus Christ. They are unwilling to humble themselves before a Creator, Redeemer God and acknowledge that they cannot redeem themselves. Pride is the essence of sin. It's the old I problem. Now what's the middle letter in the word pride? P-R-I-D-E. What's the middle letter in the word sin? S-I-N. And pride is the essence of sin. It's egotism. It's the meism which characterizes so much of this particular generation. Someone has well said that egotism is the only disease that when you get it, it makes everybody else sick but you. And I suppose one of the most egotistical men who ever lived and who still lives was the famous heavyweight boxer Muhammad Ali. A colorful man, a humorous man, but without a doubt a very egotistical and prideful man. I read some years ago that on one occasion Ali got on an airplane. And you know how they do? They say, now it's time to buckle your seat belt. And he refused to buckle up. And so a stewardess came and said, Mr. Ali, you must buckle your seat belt. He said, Superman don't need no seat belt. And the stewardess said, Superman don't need no airplane. Now, egotism is a problem that all of us struggle with at times. How many of you know somebody that you believe has an ego problem out of control? Raise your hand. You think you know somebody has an ego problem out of control? But the question is, what about yourself? You see, egotism is easy to recognize in other people. I can see it in you, but I have trouble seeing it in myself at times. And we're all like that if we're honest. The fact of the matter is, a person can appear to be very humble, and while appearing to be humble, be a very prideful person. It was C.S. Lewis who said, and I quote, a man is never so proud as when striking an attitude of humility. Pride has two faces, as I understand it. There's the obvious face of pride. That is the person who is loud and boisterous and braggadocious, and he's got his chest puffed out, and he's one of those kind of persons. It's almost like he can strut sitting down. I mean, they're just there. He's the cool dude. He's the fella who's got the antenna out. He's saying, look at me. Look what I've accomplished. Look what I've done. Look what I've achieved. I'm better than everyone else. I'm superior to everyone else. I have more of this and more of that. And that's the obvious person. The one who lets the whole world know that he has his act together, that he's arrived. And it's easy to spot that kind of person as a person with a pride problem. But there's another face to pride. It's that person who poses in an act of humility. Oftentimes it's a person who is reserved by nature, whose natural inclination is to be an introvert, who's shy. And part of the reason that a person is like that is because their self-esteem, they don't want to put on the line because they want everybody to approve them, and they're afraid if they say something, somebody may not like what they say. And so they just withdraw into a shell, and the problem is pride. So let's not be so careful to say all the prideful people are those who are obviously proud. It just may be that the person who poses as the most humble person you know may realistically struggle with the issue of pride. And I confess tonight, of the seven deadly sins, this is the one that your pastor struggles with the most. I wrestle with it on a daily basis. I battle it day after day after day. And pride is a deadly sin. It is the sin that was the undoing of Satan, Lucifer, the son of the morning. I want you to see this in Isaiah chapter 14. Just a little history here, a little Bible history. Isaiah chapter 14. Back in eternity past, before God ever created the world, before He ever made the first man Adam and his bride Eve, back there eons ago in heaven, there was rebellion. Among the angels, and the highest angel of all, was one whose name was Lucifer. He was the son of the morning. Now, if you'll look in Isaiah chapter 14, begin with verse 12, you'll find these words. Oh, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. That is a reference to Satan. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you were brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. What happened? This angel, this highest angelic being, tried to usurp the place of God. He was filled with pride, and he wanted to sit on the throne of heaven. And so we find Satan saying here in verses 13 and 14, I will. God said, you won't. And he was cast from heaven. And someday he will spend eternity in outer darkness in hell. Satan's problem was pride. Pride is deadly. Now tonight, first of all, I want to give you some dangers about pride, some dangers of pride. I'll give you three. And then I want to give you some how to be delivered from pride. Give you some steps to keep in mind as you think about pride and how to be set free from it. First of all, three dangers regarding pride. Number one, pride is dangerous because pride keeps me from maturing as a Christian. Pride keeps me from maturing. Now the fact of the matter is, if you think you don't need this sermon tonight, you do. If you think this sermon's for somebody else, you're wrong. Let me give you a test to assess your pride. Ask yourself this question. Do I have a teachable spirit? Am I teachable? Am I willing to let somebody else instruct me in how to better myself as a Christian? Am I open to someone giving me counsel about financial matters? Am I open to being instructed about how to be a better husband or wife, or father or mother? Am I teachable in the area of my work? Am I willing to allow my supervisor to give me counsel about how I might better do my job? Or if I am the supervisor, am I willing to receive some suggestions or advice from those who I supervise? Do I have a teachable spirit? That's a good way to assess if you have pride in your heart. And if you've got an attitude that says, you know, I've already learned it all, I don't need anybody to show me how to do it, I know all there is to know about a particular matter, then you've got a pride problem, and it will keep you from being the mature Christian that Jesus wants you to be. Now, you can choose to look smart and to appear to have all the answers when you really don't. Or you can choose to have a teachable spirit and actually be a smart person. And the way to maturity and the way to wisdom is humility. Now, the key verse that I want us to look at tonight is the one I want to give you now. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 6. This is so important that you comprehend the truth and the principle found here in James chapter 4, verse 6. The Scripture tells us that He, God, gives us more grace. That is why the Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, among other things, grace is the power to change. It is the supernatural ability supernatural power from God to be different. And God gives grace, God gives the power to change only to those who have a teachable spirit. Only to those who humble themselves before Him. So we're talking about some dangers that come as a result of pride. And the first danger is that pride keeps me from being the mature disciple of Jesus Christ that I should be. Now let me give you a second danger regarding pride. Pride poisons my relationships. All of us have relationships, family relationships, friendships, work relationships, and pride will poison those relationships. Look in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. You see, having healthy and wholesome and loving relationships is what makes life worth living. It's not the accumulation of things. It's having people that love you and that you love. And in Proverbs 13, verse 10, we read these words, "Pride only breeds quarrels." And the reason some husbands and wives quarrel so much in their marriage relationship is because of pride. It's the root problem. You have a disagreement, and you know in your heart of hearts you're wrong, but you say, "I don't want to admit I'm wrong. I don't want to admit that you may be right, and I'm wrong." That's the sin of pride. And it's not found just in marriages. It's found in parent-child relationships. It's found in relationships in the office, in the workplace, in the marketplace. And I tell you, pride poisons relationships. And if reconciliation is going to take place, there must be the willingness to lay aside your pride, if you please. To use the cliche, to swallow your own pride. Well, I have good news for you. Swallowing your own pride is non-fattening, so you don't have to worry about being overweight from swallowing too much pride. Just do it. Just humble yourself. And when you're wrong, admit you're wrong. And seek reconciliation with those with whom you're out of fellowship. Pride poisons relationships. That's why we have quarrels. Hey, that's why on an international scale we have war. You have the pride of one nation against the pride of another nation. And the pride of the leader of one nation contesting the pride of the leader of another nation. And you involve sometimes hundreds of thousands of people in combat just because of the pride of a few leaders. Pride poisons my relationships. It's a deadly danger, and we need to guard against it. Let me give you a third danger regarding pride. Pride produces stress and worry. Now, the reason pride produces stress and worry is because I'm concerned about my image. I'm concerned about what somebody else thinks. For you see, if I'm not concerned about my image, then I don't have to worry about what somebody else thinks about me. If my only concern is what does God think about me, And what is my standing with God, and am I in fellowship with God, then I don't have to be anxious at all of what you think about me. I don't have to be worried about that. There needs to be no stress there. Now, this is manifest in one way in the life of an extrovert, and in a completely different way in the life of an introvert. In the life of an extrovert, pride produces stress and worry about how do I look? Am I making the right appearance? Am I impressing somebody? And oftentimes people who are filled with that kind of pride will try to impress other people in outward ways by the clothes they wear, some kind of designer clothes or some kind of garment or shirt or coat or whatever that has a certain label or certain brand name on it. And they're announcing to the world, "Look at me, I'm important. Look what I wear." But I want you to know that that's a dangerous game to play. Look in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. When you try to impress people, you set yourself up for a fall. In Proverbs 29, 25, we're told the fear of man will prove to be a snare. Now, the good news for modern man translates that it is dangerous to be concerned with what others think of you. And it is. It's a deadly danger. And it's dangerous for parents to be concerned about what their peers think about their children. And I think one of the great tragedies of our generation is parents who are pushing their kids, pushing to excel in academics, to excel in athletics, to excel in a beauty contest, not because the child is eager to be involved in some of those activities, but simply because mom or dad have a low self-image. They're trying to make up for their own sense of inadequacy by pushing their children to exceed and sometimes pushing them beyond the limit. So if a person is an extrovert, then maybe he's just out there to show off and impress other people. Produces stress and worry. Now in the life of an introvert, pride produces stress and worry because you get so introspective and you get so focused upon yourself and what somebody going to think about me if I say this and what somebody going to say about me if I go there, that you're so wrapped up in yourself that you just withdraw so that nobody will ever say anything negative about you because you're not out there to be seen by anybody or say anything to be heard by anybody. And the root problem, in many cases, not in every case, is pride. And so we've looked at three dangers about pride. Now, let me talk to you about how to be delivered from pride. And I want to give you four or five suggestions here as we think about deliverance from pride. Now, if you want to be delivered from pride, number one, you need to be honest about your weaknesses. You'll never be set free from the sin of pride unless you're willing to be honest with God and honest with yourself about your weaknesses. Look in Proverbs chapter 28. Verse 13. Proverbs 28:13 tells us, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. You want to be delivered from the sin of pride? Number one, be honest about your weaknesses. Be honest about your sins. Be honest about the shortcomings in your life. You see, if you are unwilling to admit that in this area of my life I have sinned, I have failed, I have fallen short, then you can't improve there. You can't change in that area. You're not open to the grace of God to transform you unless you're, first of all, willing to admit that you have a weakness. I heard about one teenage boy who thought he was guilty of the sin of vanity. In fact, he confessed it to his older sister one day. He said, I think I'm guilty of this sin of vanity. She said, well, how can this be? He said, well, whenever I see a mirror, I said, I always stop in the mirror and I look at myself, I admire myself, and I say, what a hulk. She said, that's not the sin of vanity. She said, that's just plain ignorance. Well, let's distinguish now between actual sin and being ignorant. We may think we have an air of weakness when we really don't. But the first step to be delivered from pride is just to admit that you have a weakness and to admit your pride, to admit that you struggle with it, to admit that you do have a distorted view of self and that you love to hear your name praised. Step number two, if you want to be delivered from pride, is be realistic about my strengths. Now, not only is it important for us to admit or acknowledge that we have weaknesses, but we need to be realistic about the strengths that God has given to us. Look in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. You see, there is a pseudo kind of humility, which is no humility at all. And we need to guard against that. We need to be discerning that we don't confess something that's not there. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Now here the Apostle Paul is talking about spiritual gifts, that is, those supernatural abilities that God bestows on every believer. Look in verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. That is, don't be puffed up. Don't have an unrealistic view of yourself. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. The Word of God says, be realistic about who you are. The key phrase there is think of yourself with sober judgment. That is, an accurate assessment of your strengths. Now, every single one of us has received from the hand of God talents and abilities which God wants us to use for His honor. Now, it's not an act of humility for a person to say, oh, poor me, I'm just a worm, I'm lousy, I'm just junk, I can do nothing, I'm a nobody. No, that's not humility, that's a perverted form of pride. When God says He has given you spiritual gifts and abilities for ministry, we ought to think about ourselves with sober judgment. to say, okay, in myself, yes, I am nothing, but I'm not in myself. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. And the moment I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, He imparted to me these grace gifts, these gifts of the Holy Spirit, and God wants to use those gifts in my life. Now, humility is not denying your strengths, your God-given strengths. Humility is being honest about your weaknesses and realistic about your strengths. So don't pretend to be something you aren't. Don't pretend to be something you are. And the fact of the matter is, there is a place in the Bible that talks about a good kind of pride. And so, as an aside here, while we're close to Galatians, I want you to see that. Look in Galatians chapter 4, because I want to give the whole picture tonight as we think about pride. Now, we've already said that pride is a deadly sin, and there are verses numerous in the Bible that warn us against the sin of pride. But there is a kind of pride which is wholesome. Galatians chapter 6, verse 4. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. Now, the kind of pride which is wholesome is that kind of wholesome self-esteem and self-respect which comes from knowing who you are in Christ and faithfully serving the Lord Jesus Christ, comparing yourself with the abilities that God has given you and not comparing yourself with what God has done in somebody else's life. You see, a good pride becomes a distorted pride and a perverted pride when we cease to compare ourselves with who God has made us in Christ Jesus and start comparing ourselves with other folk. Whether it's in the material realm, somebody has something, a home, an automobile or something I don't have, or whether it's in the spiritual realm, somebody has a spiritual gift that I don't have and I want what he has. Now, there are two problems that come with comparing. First of all is, when you compare yourself with other people, you're going to find there's some people who are superior to you in certain areas. And that creates discouragement. On the other hand, when you compare yourself, you'll find there's some people to whom you excel in certain areas. You do better than they do, and that creates pride. In either case, whether it's pride on one hand or discouragement on the other hand, as it comes about as a result of comparison, it's a dumb thing to do. And whenever we start comparing ourselves to one another, we create an opportunity for the enemy to come in and create either pride on one hand or discouragement on the other hand. And we just don't need to do it. Now, Madison Avenue does its dead level best to help us compare ourselves. We go home and turn on our televisions and see all these newfangled gadgets and appliances and automobiles and all these things, and just makes us think, well, you know, I don't have that. I need to have that. We rush out and buy that in order to build up our self-esteem. And all it is it's the old lie of the devil. He gets in this comparison game, and somebody's got something a little better than what I have, and therefore I feel like I don't measure up, so I've got to get what I have to feel like I'm as good as they are. And that's deadly. And the way to overcome that is, as Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 says, look at it again. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. Now, if you want to compare yourself to somebody else, you can find somebody else who's inferior to you in some way. Everybody's ignorant about something. You think about it. You take the smartest man in the world. You take the man with a string of PhDs after his name, and there's some things he doesn't know, and you know some things he doesn't know. We're talking about how to be delivered from the deadly sin of pride. And if you want to be delivered from the deadly sin of pride, you need to, number one, be honest about your weaknesses. Number two, be realistic about your strengths. Say, yes, God has given me grace gifts, and I'm going to use them for His glory. It is not my doing, it is His doing. Now, a third step that I would share with you, if you want to be delivered from the deadly sin of pride, is be grateful for what God has given you. Be grateful for what God has given. In other words, just have an attitude of gratitude. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Gratitude to God will go a long way in delivering the child of God from the deadly sin of pride. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. For what makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Well, what do you have you didn't receive from God? You say, now wait a minute, preacher. My two hands built this business. Who gave you those two hands? You say, now wait a minute, preacher. I thought up that great idea. Who do you think gave you your mind? What do you have that God didn't give you? Nothing. The proper response to that kind of a view is to just let your heart well up in praise and gratitude and thanksgiving to God for what He has given to you. All of us came into this world with certain genes and chromosomes. Did you tell God before you were conceived in your mother's womb, now this is what I want to look like, this is what I want, this is the way I want to be? No, not at all. You didn't do that. What you have, God gave it to you. And one of the keys to being set free from the deadly sin of pride is to be grateful for what God has given to you. Because it's all come from His good and gracious hand. Now, a fourth principle to keep in mind as we think about being delivered from the deadly sin of pride is to become a servant to others. Now, when we become a servant to others, we become like the Lord Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom. Look in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We'll begin with verse 3. There, through the inspired pen of the Apostle Paul, the Lord says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Now, there's the principle. The Lord says, consider others better than yourself. Look out not for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. In other words, serve others. If you want your life to be characterized by humility, give your life away in service to others. You see, one of the great principles of the Christian faith is this: the way up is down. And if you want to be lifted up, then humble yourself and serve others. Then he goes on to say in verse 5 and following that Jesus is our model here. Look in verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus was the prototype. He was the perfect model of a servant. Can you imagine Jesus going about the countryside of Judea and Galilee, all puffed out, filled with pride? Can you imagine Jesus having a bumper sticker on his camel that said, look out for number one? Of course not. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Glory, was the most humble individual who ever walked the face of this earth. And in His own life of 33 years, incarnate in this world, He demonstrated for us, He modeled for us, the servant lifestyle. And Jesus wasn't going around thinking about Himself, He was thinking about others. You know, a person who's all wrapped up in himself makes a pretty small package. And whatever else we can say about the Lord Jesus Christ, He was focused on the needs of others, serving them, looking out for their interests, and not for His own. It seems, as I study this issue of pride and humility, and I want you to jot this down because I think this is important. Humility is not thinking poorly of yourself. Humility is just not thinking of yourself at all. Now let it settle in. I'm going to say it again. Humility is not thinking poorly of yourself. Humility is just not thinking of yourself at all. It's thinking about God. It's thinking about others. It's just being forgetful about yourself. And Jesus is our role model. One final principle, then we're done, as we think about how to be delivered from the deadly sin of pride. The fifth principle is this. Exercise your will and humble yourself before God. Exercise your will and humble yourself before God. Look in James chapter 4, verse 10. In James 4:10, we're told, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Do you know that humility is an act of your will? Just like pride is an act of your will. And if you're a prideful person, it's because you choose to remain that way. And if you become a humble person, it's because you choose, not once, never to be chosen again, but you choose on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis to humble yourself before God. To acknowledge that you are dependent upon God. That everything that you have that is good has come from His gracious hand. That He has given you grace gifts which He expects you to use for His glory and honor. And we humble ourselves before God as we focus not on ourselves and think how poorly of ourselves we can think, but focus on the Lord God and upon others. You think about it. It is an act of your will. It'll be true of any sin, any issue. We are what we choose to be. And by God's grace, we can choose to be holy and righteous and blameless in His sight. By God's grace, every one of us can be set free day by day from the deadly sin of pride. Would you bow with me as we pray?